Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service. As many of you will know, Gary's dad died recently, and Alex and Liz and I were able to go over to his funeral on at the crematorium on Tuesday, wasn't it? When we were people were remembering him, the sort of man he was and what he'd done. And the reason why Gary and Louise and Noah aren't with us this morning is that they've got a Thanksgiving service at their church over in Huddersfield, when they'll be thinking of all the good things and all the memories that they will have of Gary's dad, of Jeff. And I guess we've all sort of lost someone in that way. Someone who's been close to us. It may be a parent, even a partner, child, even a member of the family that we were close to. Or it could have just been a very close friend. Someone who's been very influential in our lives, who we looked up to, and they've gone, and they're no longer with us. It may be a sudden death, and that's really hard. It may be sort of expected, or it may be that the person's very old. But whatever happens, when they finally die, you have that sense of loss and bereavement, don't you? And grief. And over the weeks, days, months, years to come, you're sort of asking questions and you're thinking about them. And sometimes you have regrets. Oh, I wish I'd remembered to ask them about this. Oh, I wish I'd told them that. But they're no longer there for us to talk to. I don't think any of you will have remembered my dad. He died. It's 20 years now since he died. The last 10 years, they were here in Bradford with me. They lived in Breton Court. And they were members of this church, and Dad was a very wise person. And many times, particularly over the last few years, I've thought, oh, I wish Dad was there. I could have a chat with him about this. We could think about it. And, you know, Mum was a great cook, and she made the most perfect lemon meringue pie. And it never works out for me. And I just think, oh, Mum, how did you do it? I'd love to say, come and show me again, because it never works. And so we think about them and we remember them with thanksgiving and sometimes with regret that maybe we felt we've let them down. Well, last week, we were celebrating Easter, Christ's victory over death. Hallelujah. And so this morning we're going to think about how the followers of Jesus must have felt immediately after the crucifixion. Their feelings, what their emotions were, and what they were going through, and then how the risen Christ comes and meets them, and how that brings change, how that changes them. And so we've got a number of passages that we're going to look at. There's five separate ones. I was going to get you into five groups. We're going to be a bit, well, I think we can still do the five, I think, can't we? So if you can get yourselves into little groups, you'll have to do more thinking and talking. And we're going to, because as you know, I'm full of cold, so I'm not going to do all the work this morning. You can help me with it. Okay. So if you'd like to put yourselves into little groups of two or three, and then I will allocate you a different a passage each. So how many have we got? We got four. Okay, well, let's leave it at four. Okay. This group here, if you like to do that first passage, which is John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18, and it's when Mary Magdalene meets Jesus. Is there three at the back, or with Eleanor? Perhaps you could do Luke, and perhaps do all Luke. Divided it into two, because it's a very long passage, but you can perhaps do the whole lot, and it's when two guys are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus and meet Jesus on the road. And then have we got two groups here, Prince and Jade and Betty, and if you could do the John 20, 24 to 29, which is Thomas, about Thomas, and then Liz, Roberta, and Dave could do the final one, which is Peter. Okay? So I'll give you a little while just to read through it. And what I want you to think about is who's in these? Who are these people? Who are there? What's happening? What do you think they were feeling? What their emotions were? And what difference does meeting Jesus make to them? Okay? So I'll give you a few minutes to do that, and then we'll take each one at a time and go through them. Okay, are we ready to start sharing and going through? So let's start with this group here first. So what are your thoughts on this passage? Who's going to speak?
Well, there were the two angels and Mary right there, and the emotions would be very, very upset, really upset, thinking that he'd been stolen. And then the realization of knowing that he's alive would have turned to happiness. And from the happiness, she'd have been overjoyed going towards the disciples to say that he was alive.
Okay, thank you. So here we have Mary Magdalene. What do we know about Mary? Well, there's lots of... I don't think she appears that often, but we think she's someone that hadn't had a very good life, and she'd met with Jesus, and Jesus had transformed her. He'd been able to cast out demons, I think. Is that right? That was the one. And she'd, her life had been transformed. And so it was bad enough when Jesus had actually died, you know, to have this man crucified. And she loved him so much. And she went to the tomb, and she was just blinded with grief. She really was. And then to find that the body had been, she thought, stolen. It had gone. And she just couldn't see past that. She couldn't see past that. She was just so upset, so emotional, and she thought, this is just the end. And there may have been a bit, it was so much upset there, that when Jesus actually comes to meet her, she doesn't recognize him. Probably her eyes are filled with tears. You know, if you're crying so much, you can't always see who's there, can you? You're not thinking, who is it? But what happens? Jesus speaks to her. And what does Jesus bring to her? Joy. He changed her sorrow into joy, yes? Hope. That it's not the end, and just a wonderful sense of excitement. And she can't wait to tell everyone else. You can just feel the energy in her. She's re-energized, isn't she? She's no longer blinded by grief, but she's re-energized to go out and say, look, Jesus is alive. Isn't this exciting? Yes? So that's a change that Jesus brings to Mary, this woman who had gained so much from her friendship and her relationship with Jesus during his life, who had been devastated by his death, made worse by the fact that she thought his body had been stolen, and then meeting him face to face, hearing his voice. It was his voice that made her recognize him. She couldn't see him. She was blinded with her tears. And then Jesus is there and he speaks to her. Just calls her by name. And this is what he does. He comes to you, he calls you by name and says, I'm here in the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your, I'm going to change that into something wonderful, joy and excitement. Okay? So that's Mary. Let's go on now to our two guys on the road to Emmaus. Who's going to talk here?
Okay, so we had the two guys that were walking on the road to Emmaus. They were two followers. They weren't two of the 12, but, well, 11 by this point, but they were two of followers of Jesus. One's called Cleopas, the other one we don't know his name, and then Jesus is in the mix as well. So what's happening? They're walking to Emmaus, talking about Jesus, and then Jesus comes along and talks to them and then breaks bread with them, and then they recognize him at that point. And the feelings that they are having there, initially when they're talking to Jesus and explaining what's happened, there's that sense of hopelessness about them. They're downcast and sad, disappointed that this guy that they thought was going to be the Messiah actually hadn't done what they thought he was going to do. So they were sad and dealing with that, and Jesus opens their eyes and opens their understanding and helps them understand the scriptures and about who Jesus was portrayed to be through the scriptures. But then also when he breaks bread with them, their eyes are opened and they see that that is actually Jesus. And from that point of recognition, they have like that fire in their bellies. They are enthused and impassioned. They have hope. There is like that energy that you were just talking about Mary. Like there's that energy. They have to go and go and do something with what they've just recognized and realized.
Yes, thanks, Meryl. Yes, Cleopas and his mate feeling absolutely devastated, let down. Helen was talking earlier about having made some of people feel let down by God, because they had this idea of Jesus going to be the Messiah who was going to save them. He was going to bring them salvation. He was going to free them from the Romans, from the occupation. He was going to be the new King David. And they were so excited. And then it all fell apart. And they thought, what is going on here? It's just not on. We pinned our hopes on this man, and he let himself be killed. It needn't have happened. But as their understanding is brought back to them, Jesus just reveals to them, and again, that sudden comprehension. Oh, yes, it makes sense. It had all seemed so senseless before, but now at last it seemed to make sense what was going on. And they could see that. And Jesus, he was there. And maybe the kingdom that they thought he was bringing in was not going to be like they thought it. They were thinking from a human point of view. Jesus opened their eyes to see things from a heavenly point of view, from his point of view. And so they have this reassurance, this excitement, and they can't wait to get back, can they? It's just so exciting. Right, so their disappointment, their feeling of let down has been transformed into great expectation of what now can happen when God's kingdom truly does come. Thanks, Marilyn. Group, that's great. You're doing my sermon for me. This is wonderful. Right, Prince, are you going to talk to us now?
Yes, so from our passage, we can tell that when Jesus arrived, Thomas wasn't there at the time. And when the 12 disciples told Thomas, Thomas doubted that Jesus was alive. And he said, except he sees Jesus and touches the scars of the nails, he will never believe he's alive. And Jesus said to him, he said, do you believe because you see how people how happy are those who believe without seeing me? So from this passage, we can learn that blessed are those that believe without seeing. So belief is very important. So when you have faith, it helps to believe. Now, without faith, you can't believe. So those who believe are blessed. And I think from this passage, we can understand that Thomas was a doubter. He doubted the fact that Jesus was alive. And we can learn from the passage that believing is a key, you know, is a key to our faith. Hallelujah. Amen.
Right, thank you very much. I think we all know about Thomas, don't we? He's known as Doubting Thomas. And if anyone questions anything, oh, you're being a Doubting Thomas, aren't you? This wasn't something new. A number of times in the Gospels we read how if Jesus is talking about something, Thomas is the one who's going to say, well, what does that mean? How can this be? How can we know the way to heaven? How can we know where you're going? And he questions everything. He's one of these questioning people. And we all have lots of questions, don't we? And he come, and so when the disciples say to him, Jesus is alive, he said, oh, well, I can't believe that. I need proof. He was the sort that needed proof. And he says, unless I can actually see and touch him. And Jesus then comes to him. And he doesn't sort of mess around just saying, here I am, guys. He goes specifically to Thomas because he knew that Thomas was the one with all the questions and the doubts. And he turns his doubts and his uncertainties into faith. So the risen Christ meeting Thomas transforms him from being a doubter to being a man of faith. And this is where God wants us to be. People of faith who believe in him and say, yes, we can go forward with him. Okay, let's go on to our last.
The last one, John 21:15-19, is it's where Jesus is asking Peter if he loves him, and he asks him three times, and by the third time, Peter's feeling a bit kind of concerned. You know, if someone asks you three times if they love you, you feel like something's up, and maybe there's a subtext what's going on, and I think we all know there is, although this passage doesn't particularly dwell on that denial in the first one. But Jesus moves on to saying to Peter, kind of revealing to him what the future holds for him, that in the past, when he was young, he made his own decisions, did what he wanted to do, but in the future, he'd be led where he wouldn't want to be going, and kind of indicating, I guess, the nature of his death. And it felt to us that it was almost like Jesus was reassuring Peter and making sure that Peter knew his security in his relationship with God, and making... give him that preparation for the difficult nature of how his life would end.
Right, fine, thank you, that's great. Yes, Peter there on the seashore meeting with Jesus. After they'd been there in Jerusalem and they were sort of wondering what was going to happen next, Jesus had said he was going to ascend and they got to wait to hang around a bit. And he said, come on, guys, let's go back home and let's do some fishing. He wanted to do something normal. And so they go off and they get fishing. And we all know how Jesus is there on the seashore and he prepares breakfast for them. It's great. In two of these stories we've had him breaking bread with the guys at Emmaus, a meal together. We love having meals together, don't we? And here we are having breakfast together. Jesus comes to us when we're eating together. And then he specifically homes in on Peter, doesn't he? Peter, what was feeling? Probably feeling, oh, here's Jesus, and I've really let him down. I was so sure he was the Messiah beforehand. And if we remember, he was the one who said, when Jesus said, who do you think I am? He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He'd been prepared to say that. He said it in front of the other disciples and he said it in front of Jesus. But then when he got among strangers and Jesus, it looked as if everything was falling apart, then he couldn't say it and he denied him. And how awful he must have felt. It must have been like a heavy stone in him. Oh, I just wish I'd never said that. Why couldn't I stand up to him? And now Jesus is giving him the opportunity to be accepted. Jesus is letting him know in that way that, yes, I know you let me down. I know it's three times you did deny me. But that's all right. Let's move on from here. We don't dwell on that. We're going to go forward. I've got great things for you. It might be hard, but I'm with you. And I'm going to be with you, and I will help you. So forgiveness and acceptance. Peter, this is who you are, but you don't stay there. You're going to do great things for me. He's empowering him to go forward. So that's great. These four people, four sets of people meeting Jesus. They come with all their baggage, their doubts, their uncertainties, their griefs, their feeling of being let down, of having God having failed them, or they failed God. And Jesus comes to them and meets them. And he says, I bring you hope because I am risen. I am no longer dead. And I think there's times when all of us can share some of these feelings and emotions that these followers of Jesus have. We can be blind to what God is doing and who he really is and what he's doing in our lives. We can feel let down by God. We can have questions, and we can feel we've let him down. But Jesus comes to us, the risen Christ, he comes to us and says, I bring you hope. I can transform these feelings into very positive ones where you can serve and worship me. So I think now we'll spend a short time in quietness. So bring all your emotions, all the things you're feeling, bring them to the cross. And then ask the risen Christ to open your eyes, to bring you his acceptance, his love, his faith, and his hope. And then as a way of expressing what you're bringing to God, I invite you to come up when you're ready. And I've got a basket here of stones. These stones can represent your emotions, your feelings, that heavy feeling inside you that you want to get rid of. It can also represent the stone that was rolled away from the tomb, meaning that Christ is no longer entombed in a grave, but is risen and with us. Take that stone and drop it into the bowl of water. But as we said, God transforms our feelings. God transforms us. And we don't go away with nothing. So I've got some cards here. I put on it, today, Jesus, our risen Lord, has given me hope because... And for each one, it's going to be different, I'm sure. So take a card and a pen and write on it why you feel the risen Christ has given you hope this morning as you have met with him. And take it and keep it with you during this week to remind you that Christ is alive, he's risen, and he's with us now and forever. And he gives us that joy, that excitement, that faith, that expectation, and that assurance that we can continue to work for him and love him and serve him for the rest of our days as we grow nearer and nearer to him.